Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of the Fearless Dentistry Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon, and it's a pleasure for me today to welcome Vanessa Emerson. She has an acronym behind her name, FDSI, and I'm going to let her explain that to you in a minute. But I'm drawn to Vanessa. She and I have had multiple conversations together, and I really enjoy Vanessa. I enjoy her spirit, her entrepreneurial aspect of what she does. She started a business on herself, and I'll let her explain that. And then we're going to segue in what she does, how she can help you out there, the dental audience, in learning great communication skills, good speaking skills. Vanessa, welcome to today's episode.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here with you.
Well, it's a pleasure on my part, Vanessa. And you know, I was stalking you, per se, on LinkedIn, and my audience is getting to know that that's where I find a lot of my guests. Yeah, but there, you know, the thing about LinkedIn that I've learned, Vanessa, is just good quality people there. Mm-hmm. I just really enjoy the quality of the people and the conversations that we're able to have. So I found you there. Also, you were referred to me by Sam Jones, and she's a, we've had her on the Fearless Dentistry podcast, and she has worked with you, and you have taught her good speaking skills. She's gone through your program, I believe. And so, again, welcome to the show. And what I would like for you to do, you are founder of the Dental Speaker Mm-hmm. and the Dental Speaker Institute. So share with me a little bit about what you've done.
Sure. I'm happy to. So my company is called the Dental Speaker, and Dental Speaker Institute is one of the arms of this business. The focus with my business is on helping the dental speaker and consultant grow their business. So that takes many different forms. You mentioned the acronym Fellow and Dental Speaker Institute. We do have a fellowship program for speakers. We have an annual meeting. And that's a really out in the industry way of seeing us and seeing what we do. The bulk of the time, my time is spent though one-on-one or in small group coaching with entrepreneurs who would like to do more speaking and consulting in business, dentistry, grow business around that, and are looking for help with strategies and skills to be able to really maximize that.
I'm kind of curious, what triggered you in starting and building this business?
Well, that's a great question. I was working with a belly surgeon.
Okay.
Who retired. And had he, a general surgeon, a wonderful man, Roger Hyatt was his name. He's now since deceased. It was years ago. I've been doing this now for 22 years. An angel walking on the earth. He was just an incredible man. And had he not retired, I'm sure I would still be working with him because I have such love and appreciation and respect for him as a human. But he retired for the second time, well into his 70s. And I was pretty sure this time he wasn't going to come back to work. And so I started looking around for a job. And this was back in the days, John, you remember when we used to find jobs in the paper?
Oh, yes. Oh,
yeah. Like today's kids would be like, what are you talking about? The paper? What is the paper even?
Yeah, what's the newspaper?
No, we just called it the paper, right? It was like Sunday. It was a big old thick thing with all these ads.
Yes.
Well, you know, that was when we were about to make the transition into more online job searching. But at the time I did find an opportunity to work with a dental speaker and consultant. And that's what got me started in dentistry, who needed an office manager. And I'd been an office manager in general surgery. It couldn't be that much different, right? Well, actually. But that's what got me started working with speakers and consultants. And I never in a million years would have chosen this career. I had no idea it was even a thing. Yeah. But I've got to tell you, I believe this is where I was meant to be. I'm thrilled to be working in the dental industry. As you know, and as I'm sure your listeners know, I feel like this is the greatest industry on earth. The people, the quality of the people is just so amazing. It's not the right word, but it is amazing to me that they're so heart-centered. I think a certain type of person tends to be attracted to dentistry. And we really see that with the influencers and the leaders out there that are teaching others and helping others. And so I'm thrilled to be here. But that's how I got here. By luck of the draw, my favoriteest doctor ever retired.
You know, it's kudos to you, though, Vanessa, of identifying a niche and identifying a need. Something there just said, I've got to do this. Because it becomes something kind of spiritual once you start something like a baby like that, and you realize the need and you put everything into it. It becomes so much a part of you that you know that, number one, it obviously is very fulfilling for you personally. Yeah. To continue to do it. But also, what you're doing is very transformational for the people that are coming to you. Speak about that, Vanessa, and what you see with the people.
Oh, for sure. You know, I think a lot of the speakers and consultants that I work with are dental professionals who are looking for a way to either add a great side gig while they're still working in clinical practice, or they're maybe looking for a way to transition out. Maybe they're having, you know, physical challenges from the work. Maybe they are just to that point where they're ready to work less hours clinically or for whatever reason, but they have this body of knowledge that's inside them. And I find that often those who come to me wanting to know how to get started will have already been asked by their local study groups or, you know, their colleagues to share how, you know, share their knowledge with them, which is ultimately how I got started as a business. I was working with a speaker and consultant in Southern California, and her colleagues started noticing that she was getting more gigs and getting more clients. And so they were asking, well, how did you do that? And it's that same idea that I think that many professionals will get to that place where other office managers are asking you as an office manager, well, how would you get past this? You know? And so, so that really, I think is where it starts for many. And I don't even remember the question now. What was the question? I went off down that path.
Well, you know, that's a good question, Vanessa. I was listening to your response there, and a couple of questions came to my mind, or a couple of thoughts. And you shared there a real valuable insight that just came out, that you said that other people started noticing, but yes, this woman, she was getting more clients. She was getting more action in her camp, mm-hmm, than what the people around her were. And so they became very curious.
Yeah.
That's what speaking does, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, speaking is a great way to share your knowledge, but also really to elevate yourself as an influencer and an expert in the industry. I often think of my orthodontist when I think of this topic. He is a world-class orthodontist who, when I go to his website, I can learn all about how he could help me as a patient. But there's also a whole section about other orthodontists coming from all over the world. And there's pictures of them shadowing him in that clinic. And there's pictures of him speaking on some of the biggest stages in our industry. And so I have greater confidence in him as a result. And it's just, I don't think it's just me. I think that other patients would look at that and say, it's not that he just, you know, like, does this, but he also teaches this.
Correct.
Which I think speaks to your level of excellence as a clinician. And I think that really helps separate the dentist from the competition, you know, right, as clinicians or hygienist,
yeah,
or office managers or whatever your day job is in the practice.
Right.
I think it's a great way to be able to separate yourself from others. It's a differentiator.
It is. And really, what you're teaching, Vanessa, are just great, great human skills of effective communication, aren't you?
I think so, yes. I think it's about how to communicate on the platform, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also how to communicate with those who are in need, who are looking for an answer for, from the coaching or consulting or mentoring or training, whatever term we want to use with that. I think that that's just as important as understanding how to listen and be able to acknowledge that you can solve a problem and to be able to communicate. As I'm showing a great example of how not to communicate, but how to communicate your solutions to them so that they can see that you can help them for certain, for sure. And yeah. I want to just point out, the reason I keep bringing coaching, training, mentoring, consulting, all that in, is because speaking at its core, I think there are two different paths for the clinician. There's the one that is, I don't really want to grow a business out of it. I really just want to give back to the industry. I know how to do this certain thing really well. And I feel like I could help others, and I think it would help improve their practices and help improve their lives. And I just want to give back because I love dentistry and I like speaking on the platform. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not building a business around it. So on the other side, where the vast majority are, is all of that. And I also want to make some money doing this, right? I want it to make sense. I think that speaks to having a life of significance. I feel like the more you can earn, the more you're able to give and do and really create a difference in our society. And so I think there's no shame in that. But, I think I'm a diehard capitalist, but I feel like there's no shame in wanting to earn more so that you can give more or whatever, however it best serves your purposes. So where I was going with this is that on the two camps, this other side where, yeah, I think I want to be able to earn at this level too, not just take whatever they will give me to speak, but I want to have a set fee. And I would like to be able to do other training, and maybe I would do some mentoring one-to-one with other doctors. Maybe I would work with teams. Maybe I would create online education. There's so many different ways. Maybe I'd have products and write a book, and there's so many different ways we could monetize that. But at the core of that, the important piece that I think is so important for people to understand is that speaking is a marketing activity. So while we're not standing on the platform, if you think about all the CE courses you've been to in your life, right? And you know when you're being sold to, this is not what I mean. What I mean is that when you hear a really great speech, a really great presentation, where at the end you want to jump up and go talk to that speaker because you want them to come work in your practice, or you want them to work with you, or you feel like they've got my solution, they understand how to solve what I've been struggling with. That's what I'm talking about, is delivering from the platform in a way that transforms people and to be able to help them see that you have more solutions to give them. And in that regard, speaking is one of the best ways, one of the best marketing activities that a consultant, trainer, coach, mentor, person could engage in, or someone who's wanting to sell online education. There's so many uses for great speaking, but at its core, what it does is elevates you as an expert, as an influencer, as the person who has the solution. And in that regard, you spin off business when you have a really great speech.
You know, Vanessa, speaking in baseball terms, since we have the World Series approaching us, you hit two grand slams there in the World Series with a couple of comments that you just made. One of them was speaking, to give back to the dental industry. And I feel a compulsion to do that. And I, after retiring after 42 and a half years of dentistry, I feel like I have some experience to share. And if I can shorten the learning curve and the growth and fulfillment of young dentists or any dentist, If I can shorten that for them, that's what I want to do. But in the same token, you know, even though I'm retired, sometimes our measurement of success is monetary reward. But you talked about that, you know, the attitude of money, that it's okay to go out there and speak and earn some money. And the more effective that you are a speaker, the more financially you will be rewarded. And I kind of think that's one of the universal laws of life. Yes. Better speaker, higher income. And the more the more that you polish your skills and you speak professionally, but then also the more that you learn about your audience and you speak to your audience, the more you learn about your audience's problem or pain point,
yes,
you can provide a solution for them and help it do it in an expeditious time. Then you've really made a big dent. But the other thing is, speaking is a marketing activity. I think that's huge.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
It is.
We don't think about it that way often.
We don't. And you know, I've never really put it into that term. But when you said that, I don't know if you noticed, but I put my head down immediately, started making notes here on my notebook. Mm-hmm. And it's speaking is a marketing activity. Now, that's one of those little sayings that you just gave us that I'm going to spend a little bit of time on when we are finished with today's episode. But Vanessa, you are so 100%, I'm going to say 1,000% correct with that. And I think that's where a lot of people don't realize the value of their ability or their inability to speak and how it reflects and affects how people look at you. And dentists are on stage all day, every day, with every patient when they enter the room.
Yes. Can I mention something based on what you just said? And let's come back to that because I think it ties in. One other piece I think that's really important to this is also knowing who your audience really is, meaning who's the best audience for you, not necessarily knowing like, oh, it's dentist or oh, it's hygienist, but more about what is the demographic of the ideal fit audience for you where they're seeking your solution. And there are strategies to be able to drill down on that and to figure out who are the best fit for me, for my topic. You know, it's often not all dentists or all dental professionals. It's often a subset that are struggling with a certain challenge that you can help them with. And so I think it's really important to identify that. And now coming back to this idea of being in the practice and understanding that those patients in your chair are that ideal fit, likely. We would assume that they likely are. I think what's so important when we understand our ideal fit is that we need to understand how they think, how they talk, what they would consider their pain point or their challenge. When I coach speakers on this, I encourage them to think about their audience and what keeps them up at night, meaning that when you roll over like I did last night about 3:30 because the cats in the house did something and there was a loud thud. And then if you can't get back to sleep, it's because your mind is racing about some problem. That's a pain point. So if you're laying there thinking, oh, I need to do this and oh, payroll or oh, the revolving front door patients or the whatever the problem is, right? In their practice, we need to think about what is the patient laying awake in bed at night about, worried about their teeth, their pain, what's keeping them up at night? And then understand how they speak about it so that you can speak about it in their terms. It's that whole idea of when we learn how to close a sale, when we're in a sales course, we learn how to mirror and use the same languaging. I think that's so important. Now, I don't teach communication skills the way you do, John, because I'm not working in the practice, but I feel like there are some definite similarities here.
Correct.
It's the same idea of understanding how to speak to that patient in a way that's not above them, with dental knowledge, but more to them and to their lifestyle. That's my take on it as a patient. That's what really speaks to me.
Again, another great and valuable point is understanding your patient or your audience and really finding out and knowing beforehand what their pain point is. I have a slide in my, and you'll know, you'll laugh about this, Vanessa. I have a slide in one of my speeches that I give, and it's the slide of Mr. Ed, the speaking horse. Remember that when we were young? And it's kind of like, okay, when your audience is speaking horse, you speak horse. If they're a cow and they're speaking cow, you speak cow. So you need to take time to learn and understand who you're speaking to and speak in their terms, speak in their culture, because what you're doing is you're bonding with them when you do that. And all too often, you know, we don't take the time to do that. We just bust in and give our little thing and we bust out and we just don't give it much thought.
Here's an idea. That should also extend to our website.
Yes.
That should also extend all of our marketing materials, right? And our social posts. And it should really extend to everything we do that is potential client or potential patient facing. And one of the strategies that I encourage is to identify those exceptional fit, those really ideal fit patients where you think, man, if I could have a practice full of, let's call the patient Sally. Because whatever it is about Sally and the way she showed up and the way, you know, the whole experience went, that was ideal for us as a practice. So when we identify Sally and her challenge and what brought her to the practice, then we can start turning our marketing terminology in a way that's going to naturally attract more Sallys. And so we can do that by surveying them and asking a couple of simple questions like, What was it that brought you to the practice? What were you concerned about? What were your thoughts about that? What did you feel it would look like if we were able to resolve that? I mean, there's certain questions you can ask them. And if we did this, 5 to 10 of our very best clients, the ones that are patients in that world, for me, it's clients, but patients. And then if we were to take their wording and to work that into all the different ways that we patient attract, all the different activities. Well, I wonder what that would do.
Yeah. I was at a conference here a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about onboarding with phone call. And they were speaking in terms that our front desk people have 90% control, and particularly the person that answers the phone, of patients coming into our practice or not. Mm-hmm. And again, I've known this for quite some time, how important that front desk person answering the phone call. So I spent a lot of time training mine, but I'll bet you most offices do not spend time training them and them learning. And secondly, or more importantly, even wanting to learn to communicate with that patient that when they're finished with that conversation, the patient hangs up and goes, wow, right. I got to call them back and have that conversation again. It felt so good. It was so affirming. And then secondly, wow, I can't wait to go meet that person in the office. And that, go ahead.
That was how I chose my existing dentist that I've had for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I called several different offices, and I remember Lorena. She's no longer, she retired. Lorena got me.
Yeah.
Because immediately it wasn't, now what's your insurance? Or what's your problem? What reason are you calling? She took time to welcome us to the neighborhood because we'd recently moved to Phoenix.
Okay.
And, asked us where we were located. And like she established a relationship right away. She was the right level of friendly, not too much, not too little.
Yeah.
And then was very friendly along the way.
Yeah.
And she would text us way before it was common for, this was 20 years ago, for people to be, sending texts to say, hey, we have an opening. We could get you in here. It was Lorena.
Yeah.
And then literally I stayed for Deanna, my hygienist. I've been with her 28 years. Like it's those kind of things, right? It's family.
Yeah.
it feels like family at this point. Like, we'll see our dentist at the store and he'll stop and he'll talk to us.
That's something.
And there's jokes in between my husband and he about my husband has had so much dental work done that we think we bought a chair there and that kind of stuff. And it's just, it's the right level of personality and warmth and a feeling also that they've got you care-wise,
correct,
that we're in good care.
Correct. I would venture to say that the majority of people, Vanessa, at the front desk are not like
Lorena.
You're Lorena. In fact, I know it is because I, at one point myself, did my own little study and I called various offices just to see what, you know, my initial phone call would be like. And I was very, very disappointed. I forgot where I was going to go with that. It was going to be a great point, Vanessa.
I'll throw out one thing while you think about it. To me, okay, what I think about is I've been a front office person for lots of years, and I've answered lots of phone calls. And I think for me, part of the challenge for the owner of the practice, ultimately who wants things to go a certain way, is really to get the team on board. You know, for me as a front office person to feel that it matters.
Yes, right.
Yeah, to me. And that I want it to matter to the rest of the group, and that we're in it together.
Yeah,
I think so much in life comes back to relationship.
Yeah, and that's a huge internal cultural component, and that really starts with the leadership of the doctor, and then his ability to vet people when he brings them in. And I always looked at the person and the substance of the individual and how they communicated and related with me far before I went and paid much attention to their clinical skills. But obviously for the front desk people, I spent a lot of time visiting and wanting to understand them as individuals because I didn't know how much control they had over my practice. I think... Share with our audience a little bit more specifics about your Dental Speaker Institute.
Sure. So Dental Speaker Institute is basically a meeting or more than one meeting a year and a fellowship. So the meeting really supports the fellowship. So the fellowship is an opportunity for speakers to earn a professional designation in dentistry, a fellow of Dental Speaker Institute. And it's based on education. Whereas, you know, the National Speakers Association, I'm a member of NSA as well, and they have their own designation, but it's really based more on how many times have you spoken, how many people in the audience, like how much did you earn? It's more statistic.
Yeah.
And so with Dental Speaker Institute, what we're doing is helping speakers elevate their skills. So as presenters, as trainers, we have a really robust program with over 20 speaker development coaches. The fellowship is 150 education hours over 3 years, and it's available at fdsicurriculum.com. There's a webpage on our dentalspeakerinstitute.com is another way you can get there, fdsicurriculum.com. And so similar to how you might go to college and take a course here or there, you can do the same thing with this curriculum. You don't have to eat the whole apple. You could take just a bite. So you can go there and see the different speaker development coaches and pick and choose where you might want to grow and learn. And I'm really proud of this offering in that it's brought together such a great group of educators to be able to help the rest of us as speakers and consultants really elevate our game. And then we also have our annual meeting, which you can see much of back here, the Weevolution banner. And so that's in May, and that's 3 days where we have about 150 to 200 people in the past on mainly speakers and consultants, but we also have many industry planners and some sponsors that are there as well. And it's focused on improving your skills as a speaker, both the writing of your content as well as your presentation skills, also the business side of speaking, because we want you to be successful monetarily. And then also we've added now a different meeting earlier in the year that's a self-development. So there's the four pieces, I think, that really round out the entrepreneur as a speaker. Okay. Self-development is so important if we're coaching others.
Okay. Part of my objective today, Vanessa, with you was to create an itch for our audience. And
I missed the word you said, create what?
Itch.
Oh, itch?
I want them to create an itch of curiosity, I-T-C-H, of curiosity as to, can I, maybe yeah. this is where I can yeah. learn to become a speaker and go out and share my knowledge and share my experience. So let's say I'm calling you up, Vanessa. Share with me what the onboarding process is.
So this is something that happens frequently. Someone will write to me through my email. Through my website. And they'll say, I would like to start speaking. I'm not sure how to get started. And so often what I will do is offer a call with them. And I'm happy to throw that out here. If someone would like to have a complimentary call where I can talk to them about what are your goals? What are your topic areas? I mean, I'd be happy to share. This is what it would typically look like to be able to become a speaker. And this is the amount of, you know, investment that you would expect, like website and your materials and some training. And there's usually to create a business out of it, there's a level of investment. And my email, if someone would like to have that conversation with me, is info@thedentalspeaker.com. I would say that this meeting is not that. This meeting is usually people who have been speaking at least a little while. Now, you certainly could come as somebody who's interested in speaking, but we serve intermediate and higher level speakers there. It's where they get their CE. I have my own workshops for those who would like to get started. So I have a 3-hour. So you think you want to speak in dentistry, which is an easy way to just put your toe in the water and see if it feels like it might be a good fit for you. Then there's another one called Transform My Business, which is a next level. It's a 2-day. Those are both virtual. And so those are some ways to be able to understand what would that path look like? What is the ramp up period? How much time would I have to put into it? What would I expect to get out of it? How much work is it? Yeah. All of those type of things for the typical path. We could share with you a blueprint. What I'm finding is that not everybody's, or what I have found, I should say, is that not everyone's typical. Not everybody wants to speak and consult. Some people want to speak, but they also have a thriving business working with some of our dental corporations. You know, some people want to speak and don't want to consult at all. Some people write a lot of articles and do speaking. But the common thread they all have is that they want to speak or they are speaking. And that's what helps elevate them as an influencer. Yeah. I mean, it really comes back to that. That's our word we use now, right? We used to say key opinion leader or thought leader. So now everybody, we call it influencer. But basically, it's a leader of thought. It's someone who's out there being brave enough to stand up and say, well, here's what I think. And this was our experience. And maybe it'll help you. And I'm here to share that. I think it takes bravery.
Yeah.
You know, to stand up.
It is definitely. It's bravery and courage. Courage and confidence in yourself that you feel like you have something to share and that people will maybe want to learn that and take it into their own life and see what they can do with it. I like this a lot, Vanessa, because I know that myself, I've made connection with you, and it's because where do we start? Where do we start with this process? I think, and I know that I can do this, but how and where do we start? And you have bundled all of this together from someone who may not have even gotten on the soapbox in their own home to speak, but they think that they want to where you have people come in that have speaking experience and you take them down a little bit different pathway. But this is what you are about, is taking those people by the hand and leading them through the process.
It really is. And so I work with speakers that are just thinking about it all the way to those who've been doing this for over 40 years, even.
Yeah.
There's a wide range of areas that I provide coaching in, like creating, helping others create their own meetings or create curriculums or those type of things, just based on the experience I've had. Yeah. I feel so lucky to have been able to fall into this industry. I'll say it was divine intervention. Actually, I feel that way, that my doctor retired at just the right time, where this speaker consultant was looking for someone, because I think often had I not started there with her, none of this would exist.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this, like, you know, maybe somebody else would have brought it forward. You know, it's one of those great ideas that I really think was meant to come. And it wasn't really even my idea. It was more of like a group of people who got together and say, yes, there's a need, let's serve it. We need to provide more education to speakers so that we can have even better dental meetings. You know, one thing I want to really be sure that we emphasize, is it okay if I jump this?
Sure.
Complex? Yeah. I really want to emphasize for those dental professionals that listen to this that are not speaking now, that if you feel in your gut, I feel like so much, my camera's too high, but in your gut, if you feel in your gut pulled, you feel pulled toward it. You think, if you find yourself thinking, could I do that? Could I be up on that stage when you're in the audience? There are so many great ways for you to just try. And one is Toastmasters International. Toastmasters is a great organization. I'm a member of Toastmasters as well. I'm a member of like too many things right now, John, but they're all so good. But Toastmasters is a great place for someone to put their toe in the water and see if they even like speaking. You'll be able to tell after the first time you do your little 4 to 6 minute icebreaker at Toastmasters, whether you like, oh, that was fun, or if it was like, oh my gosh, they'll ever let me do that again.
Yeah.
And most people, if they feel pulled toward it, they leave invigorated. It just feels good to teach.
Yes.
When you're naturally a teacher, and I believe most people know that they feel called to it, that it keeps popping up. And so I just really want to encourage those who are thinking, I don't know, it's probably too much work and I'm probably not any good and blah, 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 blah. That's what we all felt as we got started. And sure. I want to remind them that it's probably tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of speakers in the world have existed before us, and they have left well-marked paths and clues on what to do. And with the advent of generative AI, so now what I'm doing when I help people with writing their speeches is we use, you know, people are familiar with ChatGPT, or like I use Jasper AI. Now you can go to generative AI and find out, well, how do I create a great speech, and how do I make it a humorous speech? It needs to be 10 minutes, and help me with an outline. And like, it's still your knowledge that you acquired over those years. But the, what's the term that, you know, I can't think of the common way we say that the blocks our path to getting started.
Yeah.
So much of those blocks are out of the way now, because you don't have to just sit down and think, oh, where am I going to start to write a speech? Generative AI, it'll make it about a tenth of the time it would have taken otherwise. And so I want to encourage people to start and volunteer with your local study clubs. Every city has local study clubs, right? And then volunteer to present virtually at different study clubs. And there are so many smaller study clubs that don't have a budget that would love to have somebody come and speak for them. Hmm. So there's really not a reason to not get started and see if you would like it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you were speaking earlier about your business and that this wouldn't be here without someone nudging you or something nudging you. But look at what you have built, and look at the impact that you're making upon the dental community and the speaker community. And I think that's something that you can reflect back upon and be very proud of. And I know you that, you know, you're a humble individual and very grateful about life and what life has provided for you, but also very grateful for what you give to other people. And that's got to be tremendously fulfilling for you, Vanessa.
Yes.
And I know that that's a driving force for you moving forward. And again, that's why I wanted you on the podcast, because the sincerity that you're going, that you use with your institute and your business, there's no ulterior motives to it. And, you know, we all fall victim to certain things and whatever out there that once you get linked up with them, there's an ulterior motive to it. And yours is, I think, is just very pure. And it just,
thank you. It
feels so nice. And we're around like-minded people. And you want to see
what it is.
Yeah. You want people to succeed. And so do I. And I believe that there's a seed of greatness inside of everybody. And sometimes someone just needs to peel that outer layer away and then boom, let it explode for them. And I think that's what you're doing, is you're helping them peel that outer layer and exposing the inner self and encouraging them to go for it. That's what I see.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. I would tell you that it brings me great joy to that. This is really my life's work.
Yeah.
And the way I view it is, when I said I felt it was divine guidance, I really do believe that. I think because I can take great joy in seeing people be able to achieve their dreams. Mm-hmm. And their goals as a result of what this really is a community. This is not me, Dental Speaker Institute. Yeah. That's a whole community of like-minded people. And when they come together, magic happens.
Yeah.
And so it's so fun for me to sit back and be able to watch that. But I think that bigger than all of that, like whoever listens to this podcast that might think, well, maybe I will try. Maybe I will get started. What I like to think about is all of those dental practitioners that will be affected by that person's life.
Yes.
And all of the patients that can be affected. It's really massive, exponentially massive, the impact
it is
that you, John, as a speaker have, right? Like any one of us as a speaker that we don't even know.
Yep.
And I feel that it's a calling. And I think people know when they feel called. And I would just say, step up. Do it now. We need you now.
I love that. What a great, that was a great 2 or 3 minutes there, Vanessa. Yeah, I love that. Because, you know, we really don't know when that one person that we're going to motivate and change their life. And if you stop short, then we're cheating those people, aren't we?
Oh, all those people, right? Especially like the clinical skills that if we're not out there teaching that, think about all the patients that aren't going to have what they need. And I think about all the teams that are going to still be broken because they didn't have the right educator at the right time to help them be able to heal, which ultimately it's huge.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
Well, Vanessa, this has been great. I really appreciate you coming and spending time with me and sharing. I think we dropped some great pearls. I think we dropped a number of pearls and golden nuggets out there. And I hope we brought awareness to our audience that, you know, people can do this. And you are a great place for them to go and learn and start their journey with you. And
I'm happy to help them get started. It's my honor to help them know what that blueprint, like create the path and the plan.
Yep.
And then they can take it from there.
You betcha.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just need the nudge, and then they need that blueprint out there before them.
So we're nudging.
You bet. And Vanessa, I will include all of the contact information in the show notes. So they will be clear as to how to get a hold of you and start. And I may do a monologue podcast on my progression with things with them so that they can so they can see and hear maybe how I've learned and grown.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome, John. One more thing I would love to offer, if anyone would like a copy of my book, it's called So You Think You Want to Speak in Dentistry. You can buy it at Amazon, but I'd rather give you a copy, a PDF of it. So if they'd like to email me at the email you're going to give, the info@thedentalspeaker.com, I'm happy to share a copy of my book.
Perfect. Thank you. That's very generous
of you.
Yeah, you bet. Very generous of you. Well, let's get that dental community out there speaking, and let's get them speaking like leaders and experts. And start changing lives, Vanessa.
Yeah, sounds good. Well, thank you so much. It was an honor to be here with you.
It has been fun. And this is Dr. John, and this is our episode today with Vanessa Emerson. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.